He does his artist song. I'll say that I know that he wrote that song in 67, and the New York Times said that God is dead. That was the inspiration behind our God. He is alive. He's a member of the church, got millions and millions of dollars from inventing the turn signal and gave it all to preachers. That's A.W. Dodd. Give honor to where honor is due. This reading was about Peter's denial as well as all the other apostles' denial, as that they will not deny Jesus Christ. Jesus said that you will. So it's basically what the scripture reading was about. But good morning to all. Good morning to see you.
Good morning.
Good morning. A good Bible study. We have visitors with us. Dennis pointed out. I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to be working a lot out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. We hope that you find this place, a place where you can grow spiritually, worship God in spirit and in truth. That's why we are here. But I want to spend a lot of time in 1 Corinthians 10 this morning. We'll begin reading there. Let's start at verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. He says, now these things, Paul writing, these things happened to them as an example, in the Standard Version, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with your temptation, or with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure. I looked up some quotes about temptation. A lot of interesting things out there about temptation. What Oscar Wilde, we know him, famous novelist, he said this, I can resist anything except temptation. Winston Churchill said, don't worry about avoiding temptation. As you grow older, it will avoid you. Now, that quote didn't make me feel as old as I think I am. Talk this about Mark Twain. He said this, there is a charm about the forbidden that makes it unspeakably desirable. That's just so, isn't it? I think one of my favorites that I read was from C.S. Lewis. He says this, no man knows how bad he is until he has tried very hard to be good. Only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is. That's exactly so, isn't it? And I think about us here. You know, I expect this group here that's meeting here on this Sunday morning that's gathered to worship and praise Jesus Christ, to honor Jesus Christ, to remember his resurrection as well as his death. I think that we've gathered here, we want to do more than just hear great quotations about temptation. While there is a lot of truth in the quotations that I've just stated, and of course there's always some humor in those, I think those of us that are here want to hear a little bit more than just some good quotations about it. We want to know how to beat temptation. I think those of us that are gathered here want to know how to endure temptation, how to get through temptation. And that's exactly what we're going to do this morning. We're going to do that using 1 Corinthians chapter 10. When we're tempted, I want us to be able to say no to temptation. I want us to resist temptation. I believe the Bible wants us to resist temptation. Not only that, but I believe that when we get through temptation, that we are better for it, that we're stronger once we get through whatever all of us are being tempted with, simply because we've withstood it. And I want to look at some things this morning out of 1 Corinthians 10 because I want you to know that this whole thing was written to our brethren. I think sometimes we forget that. Brethren of old, they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. What this was written for was to help them deal with temptation and yet resist temptation, not follow through with temptation. Because they wanted so badly to say yes to what their carnal and fleshly desires. I wonder sometimes if the Corinthian brethren would look at us today. We talk about our society today. I wonder sometimes if they wouldn't look and say, you guys got it made. You guys in 21st century America, you've got it made when it comes to temptation. And I'm sure that you're all thinking, you know, I need to take a look around at our culture and our society. But I want you to remember that Corinth was such a wicked place. It was full. The city was full of idolaters, full of idolatrous temples. And in and all time, there were wild pagan orgies going on because Corinth was a seaport town. And what happened was, it offered all the indulgence of the flesh that sailors sought when they were coming to port. Corinth was a wicked, wicked city. Now, before we go and see who's the most wicked or even get to the bottom of the sewer before either Corinth or Jackson County, I want us to think about what Paul has written to them. I want us to look at 1 Corinthians 10, and I want us to understand what helped them withstand temptation. What helped them do the battle with that? And really, if you look at this, I think it's very powerful. And in this text, it contains a guarantee. It contains some guarantees from God about temptation. I want us to look at it. I want us, as we get through this, the goal really is to get a handle on your temptation, to be able to battle temptation. And really, the lesson today, there's not going to be anything at the end, go, wow, I've never seen that coming. That's a super twist. There's nothing going to be hidden about this. On the outset, this lesson, you can just talk, you can do it. You can resist temptation. I want you to know that. I want you to get that. Paul wants you to get that. When you do battle with temptation, you can win. You don't have to sin. You don't have to sin. You don't have to cave to the pleasures of sin. You don't have to sin. You can overcome temptation. God guarantees it. You believe that? I know it to be true. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. As you look at that, let's look at verse 11 again. Verse 11 again. Now, these things happened to them in the disaster. They were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who stands take heed, lest he fall. Now, here's the first guarantee. None of us, as you look at that, God's telling us that we are not immune. None of us are immune to temptation. All of us face temptation, and none are immune. Now, when you read that, you look at those two verses, you go, yeah, that's great. We've heard that time and time again. Now, this is the Jeff Jordan unauthorized international version. Here, I'm going to read that again. I'm telling you about those Israelites. We might be able to learn something from them, but you know what? We aren't really anything like them at all. Because when we got baptized, now we are bulletproof. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands, let him check his baptismal certificate, because you've got one of those, you're exempt from all temptation. Now, Paul doesn't say that. Paul doesn't say that at all. And the reason he doesn't say that is because suddenly when you're a Christian, it doesn't put you at another level where you're beyond temptation. Where you're at a place where the devil cannot get to you. And in fact, not just Paul, but really, I look at Scripture, the entirety of the Bible. It's full of caution. It's full of warning. It's full of, you need to take care. You need to have a watchfulness about temptation. Well, not only Paul. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16. I wonder, and here's the wisdom of Solomon talking about temptation, and really I wonder if Paul read this verse. Look at verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, not only Paul, not only Solomon, but turn back to the back part of the New Testament. Turn back to Peter. I want you to notice 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 5. Verse 8. He says this. Peter says you need to pay attention. He says, be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now, I want to take a quick side shift here. I want to take a quick detour here because I want to handle the difficulty of feeling guilty about being tempted. So a lot of folks that feel bad, that feel guilt simply because of the temptation. I don't know why. Maybe you didn't get the memo that said it is not a sin to be tempted. Let me say that again. It is not a sin to be tempted. Why do I know that? Well, the Lord was tempted. Matthew 4. Luke 4. What else can we say about our high priest? Turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. What's the Hebrew writer say about Jesus? Hebrews 4, verse 15. He says this. Hebrews 4, verse 15. We do not, he says, have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus tempted, yes, all points, just like us. But even though tempted, yet Jesus was without sin. What's that song we sing? Yield not to temptation. What is it? For what? Yielding is sin. You see the point? All right, there it is. It's not a sin to be tempted. So let's stop with the fake guilt. And let's stop with the fake bad feelings about being tempted. But along the way, we let go of, I don't need all of these warnings. I know we're talking about the Israelites. I know we're talking about the Jews of the past and Paul's, you know, looking at all that. But I'm immune to that. And that's what happens, I think, sometimes. I don't think we say that out loud, though, do we? We don't talk like that out loud. You know, they live in a different time. It's not about me. I'm different than they are. We're different than they are. And you know what? People are different today. Society's different today. So we ignore all those warnings because guess what? All these warnings that were read, they don't apply to you. It's just not about us. And the Proverbs, again, turn to Solomon's wisdom as we look at this. And what we do, we decide, and so we just want to ignore these warnings. We decide this stuff doesn't work for us. Proverbs chapter 6. He says, can a man, he's talking about sexual immorality and temptation. He says, can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not get burned? You know what the answer to that is? Oh, well, hey, I got asbestos skin and I got a flame retardant suit. I'm good. I'm good to go. It's not going to bother me. I'm good to go. You know what God's guaranteeing you? Lord is guaranteeing you here. God's guaranteeing you that if you think that way, you're going to fall. He's saying you're going to fall. Go back, look at verse 12. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. When we decide that we're above temptation, when we decide somehow that we're immune to it, when we decide somehow that we're not going to be influenced by temptation, by environment, we're proud, you know, we're all proud and puffed up. I'm going to tell you, the devil has you exactly where he wants you. And we come up with all these excuses, and we come up with all the rationalizations. I can handle it. I'm stronger than that. I'm better than that. All of that saying what? I'm immune to that. I'm immune to temptation. No. No. Paul says, no, you are not. You remember several months ago, our vice president, Mike Pence, revealed that he had a very careful rule that he is always abided by, and that is that he will not be alone in a room with a woman that is not his wife. And in fact, they call it the Pence rule now. Really, when that all came out, the press just went bazooka. They went crazy. How puritanical. Oh, you're just going to hold women down once again to another level. What an old-fashioned idea. How can anybody do that or act that way? They came down pretty hard. And now, over the past few months, everybody from movie directors to actors to athletes to everybody famous has been charged with sexual assault and sexual this and all of that. And you know what happened? Last week in a paper, actually it was an editorial in the Washington paper, said that, you know what? The Pence rule might not be a bad idea. Wow. Think about that. They come around a little bit. Now, whether you like his politics or not, doesn't have anything to do with it. But what is true about Mike Pence in this attitude of all kinds of charges about all kinds of things is, when you look at what it, Pence isn't going to be charged with any sexual wrongdoing, is he? He certainly is not. Because he safeguarded himself. Why do you think he's done that? Because he knows he's not immune. Smart man. Honest man. You know what? When we decide, when you decide we're above temptation, that we'll be all on temptation, aren't we just putting our arrogance on display? You think about this. Are you better than Moses? You tougher than David? How about Solomon? All of those men fell. And I can too. You know what? We're not immune. God guarantees it in this book. We're not. We are not immune to temptation. Which leads me to verse 13. Second guarantee. We're told here, that no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. We hear that. No temptation overtaken you, common to man. All right. What is that? That's Bible speak. That's Bible speak because that's what the Bible says. We hear that, huh? No temptation, common to man. All right. Yes, Lord, an unauthorized version. Once again, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Want to hear that again? The temptations in your life are no different than what others experience. What do you experience? What are you being tempted with? What's the devil got you going after? You know, throwing in, you know, whatever it is, it's not novel. It's not unique. It's not new. It's not brand new. And God guarantees that. Now, aren't you glad that God is guaranteeing whatever's going on in your life that it's not unique and it's not new? You know why? Because we can help each other. I can help you. We can get together. We can get back there. We can email each other. We can talk on the phone. We can do all of that because I know that what you're going through is not new and that somebody has experienced that. And you can say, please help me with it. And all of us have the ability to do that. I know. I'll never be able to say, wow, that's a new one. Well, I don't know. I've never heard anything like that before. What's going on with you? Something is brand new. Never said that. I'll never say that. You'll never say that. Doesn't work that way, does it? It doesn't work that way. You know, firemen, Daryl back there, fireman Daryl, you know, when they go to a fire, they get called out to the fire, here they go. They really don't know what they're going to go up against. I know a lot of you, we're going to fire. So they're going, and they never get to a fire that's green flag, the pink polka dot, bunny cone. You know, keep what we're going to do, they seem to like it. They know they're going to see a fire. And it's going to be a fire. What's the law of the fire there? What's the four things what you got to have? Oxygen, fuel, ignition, and source. Ding, ding, ding. And those are the laws of the fire. And the fireman knows that whatever the fire is, it's got to abide by those laws. It's all in that. He knows what he's going to find. All right. And so when you look at this verse in verse 13, God guaranteeing you that you're not going to get a temptation with green polka dot. It's not going to be successful. Your temptation is going to be like everybody else. Think about that. In some way, that's an unwelcome dose of reality. And that's an unwelcome dose of honesty. Because we're not going to get to be the exception with what we're dealing with. For some of us don't like that. It's just to personalize your temptation. And you know what? If you do that, the reason a lot of folks want to do that is that you can be involved in the thing. And you can push other people away. And I'm the only one that understands it. And I'm the only one that can stand it. You know? And you don't know what I'm going through. You know what? Like, you've never been there. You don't know anything about what's happening with me. Because I'm doing that, what am I doing? I'm building a platform of excuses so that I can be in the sense that I'm involved in. Because what I'm involved in, a lot different from what you even know about. Well, it's justified. Nobody else knows. Can we stop that noise? Can you get away from that? Because that's not a biblical principle. That's not how that works. The temptations in your life are no different than the temptations in my life. We're all in the same boat. Now you're going, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, let's go to 1 John. You're right. I probably don't know what you're going through right now, but I do know what the Bible says about temptation. 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 16. He says, for all, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of possessions, is not from the Father, he says, but is from the world. John says temptation comes in three ways, three avenues. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Pride of what we have, or pride of what we do. That means that whatever's going on, whatever temptation that is in play in your life, it's going to fall in one of those three areas. Guarantee you every time. Which means whatever we're tempted with is common to man. What you're experiencing, a person has experienced before in those areas. Now, I may not lust after that, but you know what? I know what lust of the flesh is. I may not want what you want, what you see, but I know when I see, the want gets the wanting. And I may not have pride, but you know, I know what pride of life is about. I know all of those things. Now, can we plug that into overcoming temptation? Because when first and foremost, what that means is that we can see that. And again, we can help each other through that. We can instead of looking down at our noses and judging you about what you fell into, about what you were tempted with, sort of helps study. It sort of helps back off of that realm. One of the greatest harms, I believe, in the kingdom of God is that we classify sin, super sin. That's what we do. You know, we say there's no such thing as big sins, little sins, and most of the thing we do, we say this is a big sin. This is a small sin. And we're approached by that. Oh, I don't get that. I don't know anything about that. Hey, you might go somewhere else to laugh. You drug addict? You an alcoholic? You a homosexual? Oh, hey, I'm out here. Tell about your life. No. There's not one sin that is not common to man. Think about that. Think about what Paul said. No temptation is overtaking you that is not common to man. We can all sit down and we can all work through every single temptation and every sin. That's what that means. And it means that God is guaranteeing you that you can overcome this temptation. Certainly does. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Somebody else has went through it. Somebody else has dealt with it. And somebody else has overcame it. Having trouble in your marriage? Difficulty with your spouse? Not getting along? There are Christians in this room that are doing that battle to get through that. You have financial trouble? You're not the first. There are Christians in here that can get through that, that are battling that, that are getting through that. Are you lonely? You feel hurt? You feel betrayed? All of those things. All of those temptations. You're not alone. You're not unique in those things. Stop thinking that you're unique. Stop believing that you're alone. Don't isolate yourself when you're doing the battle of temptation. And that's your point here. Don't start building all kinds of excuses that will allow you to sin. Instead, folks, we just need to be candid with each other. And we need to be honest with each other. It's all the same. We're all experiencing the same temptation. All of us. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Every sin, every temptation falls in those categories. And they are common to man. Let's listen to Solomon again. Go to Ecclesiastes. Look at chapter 4. Let's begin reading verse 9. He says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone. When he falls, he has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Folks, we need each other. You're not unique. You need your brothers and sisters in Christ, because the temptations of your life are not any different than the temptations that are in every one of our lives. What else? Look at verse 13 back again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Maybe the most important guarantee that you're not alone. Paul was referencing his brothers and sisters in Christ, but look who he references here. He says in verse 13 that God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. With the temptation, he will provide the way of escape that you may endure. Think about that. Now, the first part is vital. God is faithful. Folks, if you don't trust God, you better stop. If you don't have faith in God, you better stop. Trust God. God is trustworthy. God cannot lie. God's word is not written in stone. Stone will melt some of these days. God's word is eternal. It is written in His word that are eternal words, life-giving words. His promises are there. They will endure. His infinite character is there. He cannot lie. He is absolutely trustworthy. You can count on God. He gives us two amazing promises here about temptation. First and foremost, you'll never be tempted above your ability.
What?
Really? That's a guarantee. You will never be tempted beyond your ability. We're human.
Oh, I know that. I know my limits. Right now, one of you are thinking about a temptation that is so overwhelming to you that it will knock you blind just like if you were hit with a hurricane. What's this? What do you mean?
God says, I guarantee you, I will not let the devil throw the kryptonite that will wreck your soul, that will ruin you. You're not going to be tempted above your ability. That's a guarantee.
You believe that? You believe the scripture?
Now think. That means that prophetic wine that you hear, you ready? You ready for the wine?
I just couldn't help myself.
You know what I'm saying? I couldn't help it. Which leads to the second part, there will always be a way of escape. It doesn't matter what comes, there's always going to be a way out. That's what it says. I need you to tune into that for a minute. I need you to think about that for a minute. This is a very special promise. I think it's an important guarantee here. He promises that there's going to be a way of escape. Now what that does is give us responsibility. When it comes to dealing with our sin, God is there, trust God. But we need to make sure we have the right attitude about our life and about serving God and about living the Christian life. Verse 13 talks about being overtaken. This has the idea of being seized, unexpectedly seized into temptation. All of a sudden, this just takes us in. It is really what Paul's thinking about. But what Paul's saying here is that God has some great things to say about overcoming temptation, but it isn't for people that go looking for temptation. Who hasn't done that? Have you ever been out looking for sin? Have you ever went out to look to see how close you can come to sin without crossing the line? You ever sat down in front of the computer and see how close you can get? You ever been out there and see how close you can get? That's not for you. These words aren't for you. Your attitude needs to change dramatically. These promises, these guarantees, are for people who are fleeing sin. What do you think to do with sin? Look at verse 14. My beloved, flee from idolatry. That's important here. You know why? Because the Corinthian church was full of pagan idolatry. Paul says, don't go to those temples. Don't you return there. You're going to be tempted to return to your former life, what you did before. You run away from those places. Oh, I can take it. Oh, I'm good. Oh, I'm above all that. No. No, you're not. You're not above. That's arrogant. That's what Paul says. Please see in verse 14. When you do that, you can make sure, you can count on God every time they're sending your path. I'm going to tell you what he's saying. He'll give you a detour around it. He'll give you a way around it. You know what I need to do? I need to trust him. And I need to believe that he will. I don't want to take to temptation. I don't want to sin. Help me, Lord. Trust him. If we look for God's help, brethren and friends, it's going to be there. That's Paul's message. When you see that, and when you see the guarantees that God has here, you know, is there a renewed confidence in this thing? You know, a lot of times we come to the assembly, a lot of times we get up in the morning, and it's just another day. I wonder how much we'll sin today. I wonder how much I'm going to indulge in today. I wonder how much guilt I'm going to have to carry today. I wonder what word I'm going to... Don't have to do it. There needs to be a renewed sense of confidence in your life as you serve Jesus Christ, as you trust God to get you through these things. Folks, that's the battle. The battle is sin. The battle is with Satan. We need to trust God. We need to put our faith in Him. We need to heed those words. We need to grab onto these guarantees. Final passage, 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 3, verse 3. And we have confidence. There it is. We have confidence in the Lord about you. that you are doing and will do things that we command. There's the confidence we want. Please get out the songbook. Remember what the sermon's about? Remember the title? You can do it. You can overcome temptation. You can beat it. You can come through the other side, I guarantee you, God guarantees you, better for it, stronger for it. You can overcome it. Stop ignoring the Bible's warning. You can overcome it. Trust in your brethren. You can overcome it. Trust in God. If God tells, we can overcome temptation. God guarantees it. The gospel is very plain. It's been told to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Harvest, plenty. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's the gospel message. That's what Jesus said. That's what he commands to do. You need the prayers of this congregation to send in a public way. You want prayers of the church. If there's something between you and the cross, get rid of it today. Please join us together. We stand and sing the invitation song.